Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's story is about this guy who is taking a road trip to visit his girlfriend who is several hours away at this university. He ends up finding this small town in the middle of nowhere, getting lost, and then all hell breaks loose. If you have ever been in a small town and lost, make sure you have your GPS. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe. Click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. While I was on a road trip, I stopped in a town that wasn't on a map. It was the kind of storm you only read about in old stories. The type where, if you're outside in the middle of it, you feel as insignificant as a speck of sand being taken out to sea by a receding tide. You're reminded of your place on the planet, the cosmos. My girlfriend, Lara, was in her third year of psych. She picked the school because of the quiet campus and the small town that surrounded it. It was a college town, with only two roads in or out. One from the north and one from the south. It was an 8-hour drive from our hometown, which I made once a month for a long weekend visit with her. This was one of those weekends, and the storm had been raging for the better half of my trip. I always came from the north, but this time, I came to a roadblock 50 miles from her town. The road beyond was washed away from the rising rain. The officers themselves even mentioned that they were abandoning it after turning me back. It wasn't safe for anyone and was growing treacherous. This left me with the options of a 7.5-hour drive back home or a 4-hour reroute to find the southern entrance. Either way, I'd be getting hammered down on by the storm of the millennium. I went for the southern passage. I knew the road was a few miles back that would take me to the interstate, but trees had come down and the rain had somehow gotten worse. I could barely see 10 feet beyond my windshield, and even less on my window, which I kept poking out of. Then I saw it. The entrance didn't look like the road I had turned off of. It had tall, densely packed trees hugging in on both sides. And the interstate sign was missing. I figured the storm had taken it out and fallen trees had shifted its entire look. There weren't any other roads that I could remember, and the service on my phone was spotty, so it wasn't picking up my location on the GPS. This had to be it. I turned down the road, which led on a straight path forward. It didn't twist or curve, it just kept its direction route ahead. As I drove, it got darker. My headlights weren't penetrating as far as they should, which was especially strange since the rain was getting lighter. Overhead, thick canopy trees blocked out most of the storm. The thunder that shook my car and the lightning that strobed against my eyes were gone. The further down the road I went, the more it started to resemble a driveway. I drove for another 10 minutes, creeping along, and the rain stopped altogether. I figured it must be because of the trees blocking the storm out. I finally came to the end of the road and the entrance to something else. An old sign was to my right, welcoming me to the township of Harvest Moon. The population was scratched off, as was the town's motto. I lowered my window and looked up. The canopy trees of the path were behind me, and the darkness appeared to only be at ground level. The night sky was clear. Stars dimly sparkled above. The storm was gone. I felt uneasy and made a tight U-turn, driving back down the road I had entered on. I decided to drive home and push the visit to next weekend. But 100 yards further, the road forked off into an intersection of 3 separate roads. I panicked. I knew I would have seen those roads when entering a minute ago. It didn't make sense. I decided to go straight. I knew I hadn't turned at any point, so I must have just missed the roads to the left and right. Another 100 yards, I came to a second intersection. This one had 5 offshoots leading down different paths, each one looking the exact same, with identical trees and homogeneous placements. I knew that I would have seen those, but all I could think was that I had gotten myself lost somehow. It had been a long drive, and I had gotten tired and not paid enough attention. I must have missed a turn. I continued forward, another 100 yards, and saw something that froze my insides. It was the Harvest Moon Town sign again. I watched that sign disappear behind me. There was no way I could have driven in a complete circle. I hadn't even really touched the wheel, let alone turned it. The road had been so straight, all I did was tap the gas. But somehow, here I was, back. I threw the car in reverse and backed up, deciding to take another path at the intersection. But it never came. I slammed on the brakes, and the red brake lights illuminated the town sign again, now directly behind me. Harvest Moon, population, scratched out. I backed up and turned the car around. My headlights were still weak, even though there was no rain or fog. It was like they couldn't pierce through the darkness, like the night was too thick even for my high beams. I could barely see 20 feet, but the road split and had another fork to the right. The main road opened up to what appeared to be a courtyard. I checked my cell. I had no bars, but somehow the GPS showed I was still at the interstate, right near where I'd turned off. I took the road to the right, deciding to drive around the town and hopefully find a way out to the other side. I had read about abandoned and deserted towns, but I had never seen one, and everything about getting here felt abnormal. As I drove, I began to see small structures in the darkness, homes and shops built out of stone and rock and wood. I'm not a historian, but could tell they were very dated. They looked to be from the 1800s, if not earlier. I continued forward. My headlights lit up an old schoolhouse, a town hall with a strange centerpiece in front, resembling a large moon with sculpted children dancing around it. I moved on, passing the empty farm. Something ahead shimmered against my headlights, 4 sets of taillights. They belonged to a pickup truck, a minivan, a station wagon, and a large RV. They all looked reasonably new and out of place in this old town. I pulled up beside the truck. It was empty. I got out to check the other cars and realized I was walking along the edge of a cliff. The vehicles had parked at a lookout. The sounds of waves crashing against the rocks far below me rushed up. I walked around the minivan and the station wagon, looking into the windows. But they were empty too, and I couldn't see any movement in the RV. I noticed the license plate from that one was from Arizona and was personalized with RTIRD. The other vehicles had license plates from Atlanta and 2 from Pennsylvania. A soft orange glow began to illuminate the front of the RV. I turned to see a gradient developing in the horizon, cutting through the darkness. The black night was disappearing, and I could see a vast, never-ending body of water. I knew there was some lakes in the area, but this felt like an ocean. The glow turned from orange to red as its point of origin rose above the waterline. It was a moon. Blood red and full, unlike any harvest moon I had ever seen. I turned around to see it was cutting through the gloomy night and was slowly revealing the entire town in a darkening red shine. And as it did, a frightening chant came with it. The light revealed the main road, which looked to lead to a series of old homes. There were dozens of them extending back to the cornfield, and beyond that, the villagers. There were about 200 of them, dressed in white gowns, chanting together. Several of the large men were holding large poles with sharp carved blades on the ends. They were standing in front of a strange wooden framework built into the shape of something you'd walk through, like the frame of a hallway. But in it, lining the top, were 10 people of varying sizes, naked, chained into starfish positions. They were suspended 10 feet up and parallel to and facing the ground. They were alive, but struggling and trying to scream through their rags. The chanting grew louder. The men with the blades hit them against the ground several times and began to march forward, the rest of the villagers waiting back. The men walked into the apparatus, shoulder to shoulder, and cut the bodies above them open, slicing arms, legs, stomachs, and chests. The apparatus became a bloody shower as the large men walked out to the other side. And now it was the villagers' turn. They all walked through, their faces and white gowns being covered in blood. It then dawned on me the 10 people bleeding out must have been the occupants from the abandoned vehicles beside me. The men with the blades had dropped their weapons and were now in the field, staring up at the harvest moon. The air suddenly felt thicker, heavier. The men's arms went to their sides, and one by one, the men began to levitate. Not high, only 3 or 4 feet, but they hung in the air, the blood red moon beaming down on them. I realized the moon had taken the entire sky now, from one horizon line to another. I could see all the heavily cratered lunar regions. A heart-shaking vibration came from it as all the villagers were now lined up with the larger men, arms out to their sides, levitating at the same heights. My ears began to ring. I covered them, but whatever was happening was rattling my brain. One of the ringing began to ease. I felt my heart resuming its normal beat. The brightness of the harvest moon was dimming as it began to pull away. It looked to be already setting. As it did, the villagers lowered to the ground and began to cheer with a beautiful celebration. I wanted to throw up. I wanted to get in my car and drive. Even if it meant I was driving through those woods, coming to the same intersections forever, I didn't want to be cut open or worse like those travelers had been. A scream tore through the crowd. One of the teenaged girls was staring out at the lookout, at the vehicles, at me. Within seconds, the rest of the crowd had locked onto me. The larger men had picked up their long, curved blades, now covered in blood, and held them menacingly. Behind them, the red glow from the harvest moon was receding, and the townsfolk were being covered in shadow again. I rushed to my car and heard yelling from the crowd erupt as I started up. They were coming for me. I pulled away from the lookout and drove down the side road I had taken. The town was almost completely dark again, the harvest moon now lowering to the horizon. I heard the screaming and yelling tearing through the town. Then I saw them spill out across my path. The villagers cut me off ahead, filling the road, dozens of them gathering to block it off. I wasn't going to stop. I punched forward and slammed into them. My windows shattered as hands reached in to grab me. The villagers swarmed my car. I felt my front left tire blow out, then my front right. I realized the men were hacking at the tires. My back right one blew out. I couldn't go further. There were too many of them in front of me. I threw it in reverse and shot backwards, sending most of the crowd flying off. I did a quick U-turn, knocking off the other two villagers hanging on. All I could think was to get to the lookout. One of the other vehicles might still have keys inside, but the speed I was going wouldn't get me much time to look. I had to guess and hope for the best. Then a curved blade slammed against through the open window, nearly missing my chin. One of the villagers was on the roof. I swerved, trying to knock him off, but my one tire was barely hanging on. The villager pulled the blade out and swung down again, this time narrowly missing my ear. We were almost back at the lookout. I saw the taillights from the other vehicles approaching. In the rear view, I could see the entire town about 50 yards back, chasing me at full sprint. There was no way I was going to have time to get in another car. I really only had one option. So I pressed on the gas, and just as the villager swung down with the blade again, my car went over the edge. The last bits of the red glow of the horizon was just fading away as we dropped. So I watched the water approach and took a deep breath. The car hit the surface hard. I felt the windshield crack into my forehead as the water rushed in. I managed to maneuver out of my seatbelt and pulled myself out the window. The high beams of my car pointed down below, illuminating a graveyard of dozens, hundreds of vehicles resting at the seabed. They looked like they dated back decades. I swam up to the surface. The heavy waves greeted me just as I got a full breath above water. I came back up, getting another breath, and saw the villager who went over with me being pounded against the rocks. His head was split open and he looked like he was a ragdoll. A wave threw me against a flat rock along the embankment. My ribs exploded in pain, but didn't feel broken. I landed on another flat rock and found myself in something of a small gorge, just barely protecting me from the waves. The gorge led off down the mound. I caught my breath and crawled along it. The red moonlight fully disappeared from the horizon, and the waves began to ease. But the storm from earlier resumed. Thunder cracked and lightning strobed again. The rain pounded down on me, but I kept crawling and found myself on a path. It led for what felt like miles along the side of the vast lake. The storm began to simmer. A new light came up on the horizon. It was the sun. I had never been so happy to see it. I saw ahead that the rocky embankments opened up to a beachfront. I made my way onto the beach and found a road not far from it. I couldn't tell if I was back on the roads from last night or if these were normal ones. Then a set of headlights finally appeared. It was a state trooper. He had been out on patrol since the storm ended an hour ago and was relaying damage back to the station. I didn't know what to say, and thought about the absurdity of explaining how I had stumbled upon a moon-worshipping cult in a town that wasn't on a map. So I told him I got separated from my car and got lost in the storm. He brought me back to the station where I made a report about my lost car, though I knew it wouldn't be found. The sheriff brought me to a bus station and I made my way home. I finally got a call from my girlfriend, but again, didn't know what to tell her, so I didn't bother, and I still haven't. I looked up the township of Harvest Moon, but nothing came up. Not a listing of the town in the state or the country by that name. A week after I arrived home, I reached out to my uncle, who's a cop. I remembered the RV's license plate. It was from Arizona, and it read RTIRD, which I assumed meant retired, but who knew? My uncle looked it up and called me back, asking why I wanted to know. I made up a lie about being cut off by them at the intersection once. My uncle said it sounded like they got their comeuppance. They had been missing for a week.